Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every single week we solve a mystery with the help of a talking dog and a 4 foot tall sandwich. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined by my two bestest, greatest, wonderfulest friends in the world, Deanna and Kennedy. Dee Dee, I'm going to start with you. What's up?
Am I the dog or the sandwich?
I am both of those things. Wait.
What?
Neither.
I wanted to know if Kennedy was the dog or the sandwich. Like, the dog and the sandwich. You're clearly the podcast. So that makes one of us the dog and the other one the sandwich. And I would need answers. Who's who?
Wow. You've called Andrew a lot of messed up stuff on this show, but calling him a podcast, I don't know. I think that might be too far.
You don't recover from something like that, honestly.
I think after you make so many episodes of a podcast, you just are a podcast. Like, you're not. No longer a podcaster, you're a podcast.
Well, as if I didn't need any other reasons to think there was no hope for me. Kennedy, I've already asked Deanna, but I'm also curious to see, like, your opinion on it. What's up?
Mostly bad things. Like, so many bad things, it's kind of overwhelming. I know that nothing's gonna get better probably for a while.
Well, for a while, yeah.
More importantly than all that bullshit, what's up with you?
Me personally, I'm doing better this week than last week. Still pretty fucking devastatingly sad, but I had two good sets this week. I had a good set at fucking the Scar Pacey's open mic on Wednesday, dude.
Wow.
That is something that you feel real fucking good about. Kennedy, I think I've told you about this. This is the dive bar where it is always packed and it is full of people who do not want there to be comedy happening at them. It's my favorite mic. It's a tough one, but it's really fun. It was a good time.
Interesting that it happens there regularly, and yet everyone is still like, ah, fuck you. What do you mean there's comedy?
And it's literally been going for 12 years. Like, this.
That was like, I remember when you told me about this, that was the most fascinating part to me for sure. It's just like, yeah, it's on the schedule. Like, there's a whole thing that says there's comedy on, you know?
Because it's in a neighborhood that, like, definitely has been, like, somewhat gentrified, but there's still, like, a lot of old shitty yinzers that live there. So it's not like a fully hip neighborhood. It's, like, you know, maybe just starting to become one or something like that. So, like, the clientele of this bar is just old shitty fucking blue-collar people that are just going to the corner bar, you know?
And, when did it become like a hip thing to see comedy? It used to be.
Oh, it's not. Nobody likes seeing comedy.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused. Exactly. That's what I'm kind of confused about here, I think. It's like.
I can't remember if I actually tweeted this or not, but I had the thought at least where I was like, okay, if I became like king, the very first thing I would do would be like eliminate both magicians and improv so that stand-up comedy could be the undisputable worst form of entertainment.
What about mimes?
They fall under magicians. They're doing tricks.
I would say I feel like mimes almost fall more under improv.
You know what? There's a Venn diagram.
Listeners,
there's a silent Venn diagram there.
Right in. Sure. Are mimes magicians or improv artists?
Yeah. Maybe they are magician improv artists. Have you considered that?
I failed to consider quite a lot, and that is one of the things I failed to consider, yes.
The hubris. The hubris of your failure to consider.
So what I'm hearing is, Andrew, if you were king of the world, you would revive late night, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jay Leno would be my master of jokes.
Jay Leno is also no longer allowed to die.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you want is an immortal fucking jester. Like, come on. Be real.
Speaking of which, you know, he keeps getting like hurt and shit.
Oh, we talked about it last week. Yeah. We came to the conclusion that Jay Leno in the 80s sold his soul to the devil. And but he's now in like some kind of Final Destination scenario where he keeps trying to die and the devil just won't let him. It's not his time yet. Yeah. We covered it. You weren't here, so maybe that's really why you don't know that.
Because I did a similar, slightly divergent, but similar bit, not on a podcast, just with a friend about Jay Leno. So I just find it funny that that happened.
I mean, hanging out with a friend is basically doing a podcast. That's how
it depends on the friend. It depends on the friend. It depends on the podcast.
I have I have a stand-up bit about a certain type of movies, and I've been introing, like, segueing into that bit by asking the crowd, do you guys like content?
Do you guys like content?
Yeah. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
That's for me.
I like it. You know, I don't... content...
You know what? You should start introducing more bits with... chat, what do you think about this?
Chat, is this real? Chat, is this legit? Speaking of things that are real and legit, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/worstweekyet.
It is real, but it may or may not be legit.
It is definitely real. It is not imaginary. We occasionally put out bonus content where we talk about, you know, lighter fare, like horrible movies and heartbreaking documentaries and the life's work of one M. Night Shyamalan. Oh, my God. Did we rehearse that? That was crazy.
We're so good at stuff.
Yeah. And you can head over there if you give $10. You don't have to give $10 a month. That's like the maximum. But if you do give $10 a month, we say your names.
If you do give $10 a month, I use that money to buy weed.
If you do give $10 a month, I don't see any of it.
Okay. You can't say it like that. We have tried to give you the money. You say every time, Andrew, you live in squalor. Like, I have a real job. The money, you would be given the money if you wanted it. I swear. When you say it like that, it doesn't sound good. I mean, obviously, we would only give you 80 cents of the dollar, but like, we would split it with you.
I'm like Donald Trump of this podcast. Like, I could accept payment, but I'm already just so rich that I won't accept the money from the American people like that.
Deanna also does have a gold toilet.
You, similar to Donald Trump, you owe the city of Albuquerque $500,000. That's why you couldn't come visit me last year.
Similar to Donald Trump, I have a bad spray tan and a blonde wig.
Hell yeah. So
I don't have any of that stuff, but I don't take any money from the Patreon of my own volition.
Exactly. And as I said, if you give $10 a month, we say your names. Why don't I actually, Deanna, why don't you say the names this week? You never say the names. Here, that's right there. It's on the sheet. So big thank you to
AJ from Baltimore. Okay. Nate Spud. Chauncey Yonders, Pablo Hummus, Childless Cat Dad, Old Hobgoblin, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Zap Actions Downer, Nandy Angelus, Brianne, Dragula 206, Why Not? I Pay More for OnlyFans, Josh Troopin, Terminally Online, Leftist, Idnex, Mega Force Base, and CIA Brain Bugs.
Patreon.com/worstweekend. Also, Deanna, hauntingly sounds like a computer interface of a machine that is about to kill you. Like,
I thought Deanna had like the perfect like NPR voice thing going on.
Oh, okay, that makes sense too. Yeah,
one of my clients regularly accuses me of being AI. Like, if you're a podcast, I'm AI. So.
That means
who's more woke?
Matt Walsh.
Don't bring that up.
Did you watch that yet? Listen, patrons, we're going to make a thing about Matt Walsh's thing.
Deanna and I watched the movie Am I Racist? Like the week of the election, and Kennedy is holding out. We are trying to make this goddamn podcast.
Kennedy faked COVID and a divorce to get out of watching this documentary.
All of this is true, unfortunately. I can't deny any of these accusations. However, I will resign from Congress.
Oh my.
Well deserved. Well deserved. So we've got a lot of news to talk to. I just want to jump into it. This first story, this is, you know, we've talked a lot about law. We've talked a lot about order. You know, we've talked a lot about devastating losses. And I think that we may have witnessed potentially the saddest moment of pop culture in maybe in my entire lifetime. So, you know, listeners, you probably already know that over the summer, Drake and Kendrick Lamar were going at it for a little bit. And like, if you even want to call it that, like, it was so clear the whole time that Kendrick was playing fucking chess and Drake was like trying to play a game of Connect Four. Like, it was embarrassing the way like their songs going back and forth. Kendrick is, I don't know a ton about like music, period. But like, clearly just listening to it, it's like, oh, this is a boy trying to play with the men. Like, this is, yeah, Drake, go home. Like, go back to Degrassi. You're embarrassing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, the battle culminated with Kendrick releasing the song Not Like Us, which was just, it was the death blow. Like, not only was it just wildly, wildly devastating in its lyrics and it's in what he said in the song, but also like it just ended after that. And the song was so popular, like any like business that had the radio on that Drake went into, he probably had to hear the song that called him a pedophile. Like song was everywhere. And so this week, and
it was just a bop.
It was a great song.
All the other songs up till that point had been more like battle raps on both sides. Kendrick's obviously being a lot better, but still like not something you're necessarily just going to put on every day. But Not Like Us was just like, yeah, you could just throw this on a playlist. This is just a bop.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a great song.
That's devastating for Drake.
And in a show of how devastated Drake is, this week he filed a fucking lawsuit with the New York Supreme Court alleging that Spotify and Universal Music Group coordinated to artificially inflate the play numbers on Kendrick's song.
Incredible stuff here, folks.
This dude lost a rap battle so hard that he's trying to sue.
And now it's like, you know, okay, as good as Not Like Us was, I mean, it was like the song of the summer pretty much or whatever, but then it was like, okay, you know, the time of it passed, like it's probably still on one or two of some, you know, like it's on like one of my playlists, you know, but like it's not something I listen to every day, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like the Kendrick Drake feud had largely faded from my mind in favor of stuff like the Kamala Harris, Donald Trump election.
Yeah, there was other things. People mostly forgot about it.
And now Drake's like, hey, remember that shit? like he is fully Streisanding this whole fucking situation now.
I can't believe that Drake is going to try to January 6th Universal Music Group. He's like, they stole the election. They stole my votes.
Millions of illegal downloads.
They have dead people streaming the song. They have illegal immigrants streaming the song.
There are people trying to stream my song right now. They can't get in. They can't get in.
People want to stream my song, but every time they go to start the song, it just plays Not Like Us.
Well, think about this. You have to show your ID to buy a pack of cigarettes, but you don't have to show your ID to listen to Not Like Us.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up.
We need listener ID. I'm very happy that we're just doing a Drake impression that is just all bad Donald Trump impressions.
I don't know what we were just doing, but I did kind of like it, and I'm glad I started it. I'm glad I brought that up.
Here's how Drake could still win. Okay,
they say Not Like Us. I'm like you. I'm exactly like you.
I think Drake should go work a shift at McDonald's to prove that he's like us.
Wow. You know what? Bestie. So true.
I'm just like us.
Oh, wow. What a fun thing to have.
And then he could do a little but up up. I'm just kidding. Pharrell wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other bop was BBL Drizzy. I just want to shout out BBL Drizzy because that's
BBL Drizzy really didn't get enough love. BBL Drizzy.
Yeah, it's like a little earworm though, because like sometimes I'll just be in my studio like doing inventory or like counting, and like I'm like, okay, we got 7G, we got 7GA, we got two of these BBL Drizzy. Like it just pops in there. It's an intrusive thought.
When somebody fucks up and they have to go away, you know? Mm-hmm. It just pops in my head sometimes. BBL Drizzy.
Yep. Yep.
I have no idea what you were talking about, by the way.
A song.
Is that another one? Is that another Kendrick one or another Drake one or what?
Yeah. Drake told Metro Boomin to shut up and make beats. And so Metro made a beat. And it's just the only like lyrics on it is just a loop of BBL Drizzy, BBL Drizzy. That's it.
What a world.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fun. Like he was like harkened back to a time when Toby Keith tried to bully the Dixie Chicks and told Metro Boomin, just shut up and make music. Metro made a fucking diss track about how Drake got a Brazilian butt lift.
And it's great.
Side note, shout out to the use of the word harkened.
I do be harkening. That's the secret third thing I'd be doing when I should be sleeping. When I'm not asleep and I'm not yet awake, I'm just hearkening.
Fair enough. So, as I said, listeners, we will keep you updated. We're sending out correspondents to follow this trial day in and day out. I think we'll send Biscuit. Yeah. Yeah, he's ready for his first on the ground assignment. But we've got plenty more to talk about. So I want to move on to our next story. Now, I can't remember. Did we talk about in recent weeks how like there's this whole fucking movement for people like trying to say we should be drinking raw milk? Have we talked about that on the show?
We talked about this a bit.
We've brought up raw milk. Just that phrase makes me feel gross.
Yeah. I don't like it that much.
Raw milk or the phrase raw milk or both or neither.
Thinking about all that it entails.
Again, as somebody who makes cheese, I appreciate that I can buy raw milk, but I don't drink it. I make it into cheese. I don't understand this whole thing of like people like if you're going to buy raw milk, it should be specifically to process it.
Like, I wish we were calling it something else. Yeah. Raw milk sounds like
nuts.
Raw milk sounds like a fetish porn site.
Yeah. Raw milk.
Rawmilk.com.
Free for November.
Oh my God. Stepsister milked raw. Anyways, we.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Rawmilk.com.
The reason I wanted to make sure that we had talked about it is because, like, all in all, it is just like seems to be another one of these fucking culture war things that, like, you know, RFK Jr. and it's like, oh, there's chemicals in the food, blah, blah, where it's like, in some ways, it's like, it's not even that you're wrong, but, like, also, I know that this is coming from a place of you are just, like, against scientific consensus as opposed to, like, whatever. So, like, the raw milk thing, it has, in recent weeks, been championed by people that are part of this, like, anti-science, like, you know, whatever, that kind of movement. So this week it was discovered that samples of raw milk in California were all testing positive for bird flu. And so this is a fun development. We've also, for weeks now, been talking about how, like, bird flu is leaning over the edge of becoming like this like mass pandemic. And if it turns out that the next like global pandemic is a direct result of anti-vaxxers just drinking raw milk, Like, come on. That's poetic. What's
crazy to me is like you can't even milk a bird.
I meant to hit this one. I'm sorry. Anyways.
Yeah. Come on.
It's been a while since I have reached for the buttons. It's been a while. The buttons have there's a layer of dust on the buttons.
Not dusty buttons.
Oi, I'm Dusty Buttons.
Dusty Buttons sounds like a band from like 2007, and the lead singer's super canceled now.
Yeah.
And he's Dusty Buttons is it, not only is it the name of the band, it's also just the name of the guy. Like it's the same thing, you know. Yeah. I'm Dusty Buttons of Dusty Buttons, and
but actually his real name is Dustin Chowderwick or something like that.
Also, he, Dusty Buttons, is now the head of the Department of Energy, so that's fun.
In my mind, yeah. Dusty Buttons' real name was Dustin Bustin.
And this is why you get your news from us, listeners.
Dustin Buttonsworth. He's a prep school kid from England, pretending to be a guy from Tennessee.
Yeah,
I agree.
What does Dusty Button sound like, Mumford & Sons?
He sounds like exactly right in between Mumford & Sons and Jelly Roll.
Speaking of which, I saw...
intersection of those things.
I've seen Jelly Roll in like a bunch of commercials and stuff. I had never heard any of his music. He played one... he performed in one of the Thanksgiving games, football games on Thursday. He did one of the halftime shows. Man, fucking music is bleak.
I saw Jelly Roll live.
What?
Don't worry about me.
What the fuck did you say Jelly
I'm worried
Roll
about
live?
You. No, you don't get to say, I saw Jelly Roll live and then say, don't worry about me, because that's like saying, oh, I've started freebasing meth on a regular basis. Don't worry about me.
That's like saying I just lit the fuse to this like old, cartoony old school bomb. Don't worry about explosions.
Don't bust your dusty buttons about it, okay?
I just saw Trump's cabinet picks. Don't worry about it.
Jelly Roll was the pre-show entertainment at WWE SummerSlam.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
So funny, it makes perfect sense.
So
yeah.
I saw Jelly Roll in Cleveland Browns Stadium moments after I nearly passed out / passed away.
Rip, by the way.
Rip, for sure.
And moments before you saw SummerSlam.
Yeah, which was fun.
Oh, yeah. The most fun you can have on a slam. Anyways.
The most summer you can slam.
All you can slam summer. Come on down. All right, let's talk about some...
Something else
this week.
By the way, Andrew, I lied earlier when I said I didn't read any news this week. I have a news story that you may not have, but I want you to get through your bangers first in case this is among them.
Okay. This week, we have finally gotten a ceasefire from Israel. Oh, my God. Can you believe it? We finally... Folks, we did it,
Joe.
Oh, my God. The crowd is going wild. There's finally been Israel's finally agreed to a ceasefire. This one... Not in Gaza with Lebanon. You know, this... Maybe not ideal. Maybe not what we were hoping to see, but... you know, less people should die as a result of this. I guess it's can't be the. Here's the thing. They came out and announced that there's a ceasefire that would be taking place, I believe, like 12 hours from when it was announced. And they spent those 12 hours just carpeting Beirut with bombs. They like leveled apartment buildings after announcing the ceasefire. And then the ceasefire went into effect. And they just kept bombing Lebanon.
God damn it.
This is like when I say that it like, oh, at the end of the year, I'm going to transfer my outstanding credit card balance to a zero interest card. But then in the last like 2 weeks of the year, I just run up the balance like a motherfucker. It's not a good plan.
It's a bad plan, and it's offensive that they even tried to convince us that this was anything, that this was like worth celebrating. But yes, within days, or within, I believe, the same day that this ceasefire went into effect, Israel was dropping bombs near the border with Lebanon, where they were talking about how, like, well, you know, there were terrorists there, so like obviously we have to bomb them, and they dropped several. There were several like mortar attacks, and then. At some point, one of these people that was actively being bombed retaliated, and now Israel is saying that Hamas violated the, or Hezbollah violated the ceasefire. So, like, sure, dude.
So they announced a ceasefire, they kept bombing, and then said that they kept bombing because the other people violated the ceasefire?
Yeah, well, I mean, probably while they were just bombing nonstop, one guy from Hezbollah was like, this sucks, and, like, fired a shot. He not lit, even at anybody, but just like, you know,
he lit a sparkler, like yeah. He lit a sparkler in celebration of the ceasefire, and they were like, it's a bomb.
Ew.
Barf.
Gross.
I hate it.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, Israel killed some more fucking World Central Kitchen aid workers. That's always fun. Now, in Israel's defense, they said that the person who was out in this vehicle distributing food that they blew up participated in the October 7th attack. So, you know what? Actually, I believe him. I think that's...
Sounds legit.
So, yeah. Heartbreaking stuff. They also killed in a separate attack by... I believe it's a separate attack. They killed the man who was running the Gaza soup kitchen, which was, like, one of the only functioning, like... places where people in Gaza could come and get like prepared food. They killed him too. And yeah, so, you know, just there will not be an end to the horrors until every single person in Gaza is dead is what it kind of looks like. Unfortunate, terrible, I would say even, atrocious. But that's the reality that we are being presented with.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, there's always a chance that people might come around. And this week we saw some evidence of that when President Joe...
Justin Buttons.
When President Justin Buttons, he was photographed carrying a book called The 100 Years' War on Palestine. Now, this is a book that I've heard referenced on many podcasts. I don't really like reading nonfiction, so I've never bothered to read it. But from what I understand, wow. This is like one of the best kind of books that you can like learn some of this actual history and like the context that isn't like, oh, Israel has always been the good guy and the Muslims just hate us. Like, this is a book that is actually like putting things like the Nakba and things like the Balfour Declaration and like giving you all this historical context and understanding why for the last more than a century, outside forces have just been colonizing this land that, I mean, you can argue about who land belongs to, like as a concept, but like there were objectively a bunch of people living there who got kicked out. Like,
right.
Yeah. But the fact that
happened.
The fact that Joe Biden is walking around with this book is so infuriating. It's like, yeah, by the way, before I get out of here, before I leave, let me just real quick do a little studying on this.
I should look into this.
I've endorsed for over a year.
I should look into this.
Also
deranged. Reminds me of how every year Obama releases his like, I've talked about this before, but every year Obama releases his like top five books of the year, and it's always like The Cost of Drone Warfare.
The Anarchist like, Cookbook.
Like it's always like shit that it's like, dude, you're the one responsible for this stuff. Like the last page of like the War on Palestine book should just be a picture of Joe Biden. Like, just like, fuck you, buddy.
For the listeners at home, here's an embarrassing fact about me and Andrew. We read The Power because it was on Obama's book list.
That's not why I read it, I don't think.
I think you read it because I told you to, and I read it because it was on that list.
So you're
guilty by association.
God damn it. Taken down by my one of my closest friends.
Would That's how they get that? You. Did you know that the majority of assaults are by a friend or family member?
It's the absolute worst part about having a friend is they might... unbeknownst to you, recommend a book from Obama's list.
I feel like Joe Biden reading the 100 Years War on Palestine right now is like the people on election night who Googled, did Joe Biden drop out of the election?
Or the people who Googled after Trump won, what's a tariff?
Yeah, that's what... That's...
Or the people who Googled, what's Project 2025 the day after Trump won?
Yeah, yeah. Horrifying shit. Absolute scumbaggery from our the one man who can beat Donald Trump. So
one ring to rule them all.
In other former future president news, I can't even remember anymore. Donald Trump. Ever heard of him? This week, Donald Trump tried to like big dick the president of Mexico, and I kind of feel like she dog walked him. I don't know if you followed this closely, but like this week, Donald Trump, he truthed out into the world.
He truthed.
He went on this big fucking rant about how, he was going
treating spree.
He was like, I'm going to institute 25% tariffs on Mexico until they personally stop the flow of fentanyl across the border, which like we've talked about this before, like fentanyl, mostly if drugs cross the border, it's coming with US citizens that just like went to Mexico and picked up drugs and brought them back. Like this, actually the problem of drugs getting across the border and illegal immigration are kind of completely separate. They don't really have anything to do with each other, but you know, when you're a fucking racist, you can just lump it all together. So he put this whole thing out talking about all this shit. And then Claudia Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico, she put out a letter to Donald Trump that was just like, yeah, dude, like she's talking about how like what about the guns that are used by our cartels that are all American guns? Like, you also have a problem with bad shit flowing across your border. And then she said, this is a quote that I wrote down. She added that Mexico does not, quote, produce these weapons, nor do we consume synthetic drugs. Tragically, it is in our country that lives are lost to the violence resulting from meeting the drug demand in yours, end quote. So that's like pretty
roasted.
Gnarly. It's pretty gnarly to be like, hey man, like maybe if you didn't have such a high demand for these drugs, maybe if you could figure out your shit, this wouldn't be happening.
Damn.
Yeah. So apparently after this, Donald Trump called her and they talked on the phone, and then Trump, he got back on Truth Social and he treathed that he had a very productive call with Claudia Sheinbaum and that she had agreed to close the entire border with Mexico. And then she was like, I didn't say that. What are you fucking talking about?
That does not sound that does not sound very tree.
Not tree at all. It is interesting that like there was something in the story that, so apparently in like the last year or so, Claudia Sheinbaum has been working with Joe Biden to slow the rate of people crossing the U.S. border. Did you know that border crossings are down like 75% in the last year?
No.
Isn't it crazy that that's like something that Joe Biden actually apparently did and they've like never talked about it?
He did not want to win this election.
Here's the thing. I'm in favor of like, man, like we got plenty of fucking space, plenty to go around. Like anybody who wants to come to this country, feel free, be my guest. And I understand not everybody thinks like that. A lot of people don't want anybody to come here from Mexico. But like, why wouldn't you mention the fact that you've slowed down the rate of people coming here from Mexico? What the fuck is wrong with you?
So much stuff. He probably forgot.
And this was interesting. Apparently, in order to slow the rate of people crossing the border from Mexico, what Claudia Sheinbaum has done is work towards assisting people that were traveling through Mexico from like other, like further in South and Central America. And I guess like they're just staying in Mexico now, as opposed to being like, we have to keep going to the US. They're like, oh, you know, it's actually all right here.
Yeah.
Well, because she's not a fucking racist, probably. So she maybe sees that those people are human beings and have value.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, it didn't actually say that she is like welcoming them into Mexico. Like it was kind of unclear. It was like she's been able to slow down border crossings by offering assistance to migrants and those traveling in caravans. So like my guess is that they are maybe letting them stay there. But I wasn't very clear on that. And that's all the research I did. So I don't know. Let's move on. This next story I would call maybe like a no-brainer. So listeners, stop boiling crabs.
What?
This week, what? Zoologists at the University of Gothenburg have once and for all proven that crabs can feel pain and are calling for an immediate end to the practice of boiling crabs alive.
And you want to go to Red Lobster later.
Yeah, you were just saying before we started recording the show.
You son of a bitch.
Let's all go to Red Lobster after this and chow down.
Yeah, I'm not going to have them boiled. I'm going to eat them alive.
Oh, okay.
We are literally going to Red Lobster later.
With a patron of the show, longtime patron Josh Troopin is visiting Pittsburgh, and Deanna and Maria and me and Josh, we're all going to Red Lobster. And Kennedy, we looked into buying you a plane ticket to come out here for a trip to Red Lobster. And, you know, just wasn't in the cards.
That would be a very expensive plate of Red Lobster, which is a very disappointing thing to spend that much money on.
Yeah.
I'm just in it for the Cheddar Bay biscuits. There's not even
like, No, I'm not saying Red Lobster is like absolute crap. What I'm saying, though, is like if it's going to cost like hundreds of dollars
and
to eat Red Lobster,
there's probably very few, if any, direct flights from Albuquerque to Pittsburgh. So you'd have to have a layover to go to Red Lobster.
I don't even know what I can eat at Red Lobster besides a Cheddar Bay biscuit. I don't think anything.
Oh, they got to have.
They boil a crab in the pot they make the Cheddar Bay biscuits in. I don't know how to tell you this, Deanna.
Damn.
Order a plate of shrimpless scampi.
Mm-hmm. That'll do. That'll do. Yeah, wow, crabs can feel pain.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. We got lost on the fact that this is very sad that for.
Yeah, this is actually totally fucked up. There's. You know, I just want to say for the record, maybe we could just start assuming that plants and animals are more capable and smart and aware and things like that than we give them credit for by default, rather than always assuming the opposite and then going, oh, duh, later when it turns out that it's like, oh, yeah, that dog we sent to space was really fucking scared while she died. Duh. Like,
I will agree with you on the animals front. I don't think we should have any assumptions that plants are aware of what's going on. Because if that's the case, then the only truly vegan thing to eat is like rocks and ice cubes.
I think, again, I'm going to continue to advocate for, we should assume that all the creatures of this earth are capable of more than we expect, including the plants. I'm not saying the plants are necessarily sentient per se, but I'm saying that, like, you know, we probably discount whatever intelligence they do have outright. And
yes.
Plants don't care about your feelings.
Yeah, plants don't care about your feelings. Thank you. Let's move on.
All right. In other sea life related news, you know how fashion trends are kind of cyclical. You know what I'm talking about?
Anything.
Yes.
So are you looking at the Red Lobster menu still?
Yeah.
We're doing a podcast.
I'm listening. He asked about if fashion trends are cyclical. And I said, yes, I have missed nothing. Plants and animals have feelings. Plants don't care about your feelings. Nothing is vegan. I'm eating rocks for dinner. And fashion trends are cyclical. I have missed nothing. I have ADHD.
To give Deanna credit, I was fully focused. And when you asked the question, I said, no, I don't know anything. So...
Fuck you both. Now go on.
Okay, so one controversial trend from the 1980s is making a bit of a comeback this week, which is leading fashion experts puzzled. And that would be the trend of orcas wearing dead salmon as hats.
Ooh, I'm glad this is coming back.
What now? say why? What?
So in 1987, in the Puget Sound, some like people that study like the orca pods that live in that area, they noticed all of a sudden that one of the orcas like killed a salmon and then was just like carrying its corpse around on its head, like wearing a salmon hat. And they're like, what the fuck is this? Like, they saw it a few times. They're like, what is this whale doing, y'all? And then the next summer, a bunch of them were doing it. Like, out of nowhere, like, it caught on. And, like, then they're all wearing these fucking dead salmon hats. And then they just stopped doing it.
Well, yeah, because it got too trendy.
And then... This just in like the last month or so, they noticed that another one of the orcas in the Puget Sound is doing it again, and they have no idea why.
We are so back. We're so fucking back. We're so fucking back.
Wow. I'm so confused. I'm confused about how they're wearing them.
They're just kind of like balancing them on their head. Like they're obviously like, there's no strap or anything. So they're just,
there's not a strap. They didn't hook a little piece of elastic.
Yeah.
It is not
a snapback salmon corpse. Yeah.
I've got to look.
Yes. Please look at a picture of an orca with a dead salmon on its head.
Orca it's salmon
hat.
Okay, yes. Let's see here now.
Go ahead. Listeners at home, you can look up this picture too. It's very fun. I mean, it does. I'm going to be honest. It doesn't look that great. It's not a very good look. But you know, I feel the same way about other fashion trends. And what do I know? I'm not a fashion guy.
Okay, but the first picture I've got here is a salmon photoshopped on an orca.
All right. You know,
Kennedy, look.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. So I don't. Somebody made this.
It's amazing.
Up.
It's incredible.
Chat, is this real?
Chat, have you heard about this?
Anyways,
I don't think.
If you want to get in on this trend before it's too late, rush out to your local stream and pick yourself up a goddamn salmon hat.
Do salmon have feelings?
I sure hope not. Anyways, we've got to move on. We've still got so much to cover here. Let's see. Oh, fuck. This is so great. This is the best news. This was sent in by one of our listeners. I can't remember who. Fuck, I'm so sorry. But thank you for your help and support in making the show possible. Last week, Andrew Tate's online educational platform, The Real World, has been fucking hacked, dog. The real world just got real. Also, what happened to Hustlers University? Did I dream that? Wasn't it? Didn't his online university used to be called Hustlers U?
Andrew Tate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is something called The Real World, which if you look at it, it kind of looks like Discord. It's actually just basically a clone of Discord.
Okay.
And one of the things, there's like a section that has like educational videos in it or whatever. Or
okay.
It's, you know, just Andrew Tate telling you how to be an alpha bro or whatever. I don't know. So this, the real world has a price tag minimum of $50 a month. And it has like 3 million users or some crazy shit.
Jesus.
And so this week, hackers realized that in order to set this up, they just basically found this like open source thing on the internet that was like an open source file to make your own version of Discord. And they just like copy and pasted that. So like all of the exploits that work for this like open source thing are the same. So somebody just was like, oh, I wonder if I could try this, and like typed in like one thing and got access to every single file that has ever happened in the real world. Like they got like private chat logs. They've got people's like real government names, phone numbers, credit card information.
Damn.
It's just because like nobody thought to like, oh, maybe we should put in a layer of security.
Oh man, those chat logs have got to be fucked.
Oh yeah. There's like 14 gigabytes of just chat logs. So like people are starting to look through it, but it's so much to go through.
So it doesn't sound like it was hacked so much as it was leaked.
It's like whenever, like if you leave your door wide open and somebody comes in and steals your TV, like technically your house got like broken into, but like not really, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's actually like that. Never mind. The point is that Andrew Tate fucked over 1 million people.
He's a real good piece of shit.
So,
Hey, Andrew Tate.
What somebody was saying, I watched
Hell yeah.
Oh, anyways, in other tech news, this week, a joint investigation from Wired magazine, Bayerischer Rundfunk and netzpolitik.org revealed that U.S. companies collecting marketing data from people's cell phones have allowed our enemies to easily and cheaply purchase information that allows them to track American military intelligence personnel all around the globe. Like the bullshit fucking like ad data that all of our phones collect on us, like Russia can just buy that and it's like pretty cheap. And then they just know where all of our spies are all the time.
Great.
It's so fucking funny that we've just like completely entwined ourselves with all this technology and like not even thought for a second about it. Like,
I got a question. What ads do you think pop up on a spy's phone?
Russian dating sites? Ads. I don't know. I feel like I don't know anything about ads. Ads could all be the same for everybody, or they could all be individualized and AI generated. I have no idea what an ad is.
Wait, you don't know that? Oh my God, dude. This is...
Tell us what? What?
Right. So yeah, on your phone, like the whole point of why they're collecting this ad data is so that they can serve you specific ads. That's what it's all. Right. Well, I mean, there's also this other purpose, but yes. So ads are not like random or everyone gets the same shit. It's very specifically targeted at you.
I guess what I meant more is like, I wouldn't have any idea what ads anybody else is seeing. It might as well just be the same bullshit I'm seeing. Not that I actually think that that's
I'm just saying, don't you think spies would get some crazy shit
probably targeted
at them?
Probably, yeah. I can't imagine what, but VPN servers or services? Like, I would hope.
Little tiny cameras.
Ooh, gadgets. Oh, they probably get so many ads for gadgets.
Yeah, they probably get a lot of gadget ads. It puts the ad in gadget.
Wow.
I did it. I did that.
Folks, this is a free podcast.
But somehow.
I love how short-sighted like technology and capitalism, and like everything is so stupid and fucked up.
Yeah, everything is stupid and fucked up. What the fuck are we doing here?
Like the downfall of our empire could very well be that, like, oh, well, Google Ads allowed us to, like, allowed Iran to figure out exactly where the one person they needed to blow up was or whatever. Like,
I think the government did realize they have to do something about Google recently. Are we going to talk about that?
I don't have it on the sheet, but I mean, I feel like
we could just briefly just, you know, Google has been ordered to break up some of their monopolies and sell some of their shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we talk about that? I can't remember.
Did we?
I wasn't here last week, so don't.
We definitely didn't talk about it last week.
But like, this has been a process that's been going on for a while. I didn't see if there had been like any concrete developments this week. And again, like, I don't even know exactly what is the deal with this shit. So
the deal is basically that, okay, because like they make a web browser,
mm-hmm.
and that web browser defaults to using their search engine, that's like a monopolized.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like that's like a thing that's like, you know,
it's like an antitrust case. When I was saying, I don't know what the deal is with the case, like how far it's progressed or if there's been like any finality to anything. I know that.
I mean, it has been quote unquote finalized, but of course, you know, you can battle judgments if you have money.
Yeah. And also with the change in administrations coming up, who the fuck knows? Like, one of the few like mildly bright spots of the Biden presidency has been antitrust kind of stuff and anti-monopoly kind of stuff. One would assume that surely because Joe Biden liked it, that Donald Trump will work against it. But also they hate the woke tech industry or something. I don't fucking know. Who's to say?
Unclear.
Really unclear how this will shake out. But yeah, so Google has been ordered to sell Chrome to another company and a couple of other things, I think. But we'll see, I guess.
We shall see. Well, hey, let's talk about another pillar of the tech world. This one I think we're a little more familiar with. That is Elon Musk. He's been getting a little bit of bad press lately. You heard me.
I did not. That was at a frequency that my brain rejected.
So I want to first talk about the Cybertruck. You know,
what did you say?
I believe Cyber I said truck. Elon Musk has been getting a little bad press lately. But I don't know what those words were. So that's like the noise I made.
I see.
That's the best I got for you.
All right. Well, never mind. Go on.
This motherfucker. This week, a Tesla Cybertruck was involved in a little bit of an accident. It like jumped up on a curb and it hit a wall and then burst into flames and killed 3 out of 4 people inside of it. And here's the thing. Normally, you know, accidents happen. Normally, cars don't explode quite so often whenever they jump a curb and hit a wall. But it's good to know that these people probably thought up until just like the last few seconds of their life that they were so cool.
Maybe. I wonder how the fourth, have we talked to the fourth person that didn't die in the Tesla?
I don't know if he's given any statement. Whenever I saw it was like the morning after. This happened late at night, so I think he was just like in the hospital recovering.
Whose Tesla was it?
I believe he was just a passenger as opposed to the driver. But like, you know, at some point, like moments before these 3 other people died, they were like, somebody in that car was like, man, this car's like the future right now. Like,
dude, we are living in the future. And this is like so cool. The joint or whatever. And then.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I hate the world. And, you know, even if these people bought a stupid car, I still, you know, don't want anybody to die as a result. But like, man.
Yeah.
Whenever Donald Trump said something about he didn't say cars that explode. He said cars that can't go far enough. Or did he say explode? I don't know. The point is that don't buy a fucking Cybertruck. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you might die anyways, but
also
that increases the chances
that the value of the Cybertruck has cratered already on the used market. So don't buy a Cybertruck if you're hoping to ever resell it ever.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the kind of person that likes to buy something and then immediately have to sell it for a loss, you know, maybe the Cybertruck is right for you.
Could be. Yeah. If you're the kind of person that aspires to die in a fiery wreck.
I should buy a Cybertruck. So our next Elon Musk story is, this one's a little bit more interesting. You know, it's a Cybertruck bursting into flames. That's like, we see that shit every day, right? This is a new one. This week, Elon Musk, after becoming somehow the number one ranked Diablo 4 player in the entire world, which is like totally something that makes sense if you are the CEO of like five companies and you have all these jobs and you're also tweeting literally 24 hours a day, it makes sense that you would have the time to become the world's best at this one video game.
I mean, it makes sense if we assume that, like, rich people like him actually do fucking jack all, but, you know, whatever,
yeah,
let's go on.
You know, go on.
So, this week, there was, first of all, Elon Musk has somehow just learned about wokeness in video games. Like, he was saying something like, you know, it really sucks whenever you're playing a video game and then all of a sudden something woke happens and totally takes you out of it. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
What? All of a sudden something woke happens.
All of a sudden something woke happens.
So what Elon Musk has done is he has now vowed to use XAI to make video games great again.
And what does that mean?
No one knows.
Mavguga. Mavguga. Make video games great again. Mavguga. Yeah, whatever, dude.
But how is he planning to use the AI? What?
Here's the thing is that I think, once again, Elon Musk is like threatening to do something that he doesn't actually understand how it works. Like, you can't make a good video game just out of AI. Like, you need some kind of creative direction. Like, you can't just, AIs are just like mix them up copy and paste machines. Like, that's not, you can't get a good video game. It'll just be woke like the other video games. Like,
I mean, and video games aren't even that woke. Video games are notoriously unwoke. Video games are sleepy as fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean,
also, like Elon Musk's own AI has roasted him multiple times. Like, this AI is 100% going to create woke video games again. In fact, I was just reading this morning about how there were these people doing this experiment where they had like 1,000 AI agents playing Minecraft, you know? And like, yeah, forming a society in the game, and like the Minecraft AI society fucking developed taxes. All right, they were like, we can betterment our community if we fucking have taxes on some of these like luxury goods and things like that, and on property. You know, like we could improve the community as a result of that. You know, like these are fucking. Like, these fucking AIs are going to be so woke, dude.
So woke.
Most woke AI.
Yeah, so, like, he was fucking flipping out about that. It's, again, like, this is just the same Gamergate fucking bullshit. It's, like, what people accuse of being wokeness in video games is, like, a game designer being like, well, we put in a playable woman character so that if any women are playing, they don't have to be a guy. They can be a lady or whatever. And they're like, woke shit. They're ruining the game.
Like, they're letting the girls in.
There are literally like adult men who think that opening up video games, which are legal for anybody to buy, just making them somewhat more appealing to people other than men is like an attack on them, like not even,
or like
it's
like
so crazy. It's so pathetic.
Horizon Zero Dawn. You know, like there was a whole controversy with the main character of those games because she doesn't wear makeup. You know, she doesn't look. She looks rugged a little bit, and it's like, she lives in a time without civilization. There is no society.
Yeah.
She's the only person for like miles around or whatever. It's a major point of the game that you like barely ever see another person or whatever, you know, like fucking who's going to wear makeup? Who's going to try to figure out makeup when there's no people?
There are 40-year-old men walking around right now who had a stronger reaction to Lara Croft from Tomb Raider's boobs not being as big as they did to 9/11. Like they felt more like their lives and their world was under attack and under threat from Tomb Raider's titties are smaller than a second plane has just hit the World Trade Center. It's so crazy. But I forgot why we're talking about this. So after,
thank you for bringing up 9/11 though.
I mean, we're an hour in. Genuinely,
I love when we can just insert 9/11 into every episode just for no reason. It's a wonderful theme of this show.
Well, I mean, you got to keep the listeners happy. There's people at home that are playing Worst Week Yet Bingo where, like, you know, 9/11 is the free space in the middle, like, essentially. Like, it's not.
It's got to be there.
So. The reason I was talking about this is that after vowing to make video games great again, Elon Musk then immediately set his sights on another victim of the woke mind virus, which is Dungeons and Dragons. So the Dungeons and Dragons product lead, a guy named Jason Tondreau, was involved in this book that came out that's like talking about the history of Dungeons and Dragons. And in the foreword of the book, like one of the things that he says is like he kind of acknowledges that there's been in the original game, there was like some problematic language or whatever. And he's like saying like, I don't necessarily stand by that or whatever, you know? So after this came out, these fucking freaks on the right just like started losing their mind that they were like disparaging the creators of Dungeons and Dragons. And Ian Miles Chong was freaking out about it. And then Elon Musk said, well, how much would it cost to buy Hasbro? Hasbro is the company that owns like Dungeons and Dragons. And here's the thing, though. They also own a few other things, namely Transformers, Magic the Gathering, Monopoly, and My Little Pony.
Among others. Among many.
I don't think it is responsible to put Elon Musk in charge of My Little Pony. I think he must be stopped.
But also, this is like so... If Elon Musk did buy this, this would be so in line with the right wing's like eternal obsession with being weird about children's stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just not being able to be normal about children's stuff at all. And also, honestly, I'm so down for... this affects more than just children, but I'm so down for Elon Musk to ruin Magic the Gathering. Let's fucking go, dude.
Yeah, wreck it.
I was a big fan of Magic the Gathering, and I checked in and out over the years, but they're just doing too much with it these days. I think Magic the Gathering ruined itself. There are so many complex new sets of rules. I'm like, dog, let me build a deck that's like, oh, all my creatures are cats, and I'm going to meow you to death, motherfucker.
Magic the Gathering needs to go through Magic the Conscious Uncoupling.
Also, there was a proposed community note to a post about this. Somebody made like a little cartoon comic kind of thing of Elon being the dungeon master of playing D&D with like a couple of his friends. And there was a community note that was like, this could never be possible. Elon Musk doesn't have three friends.
I just want to quickly Magic for one more second and say, they're making official SpongeBob SquarePants Magic the Gathering crossover cards. All right, Magic.
That's
Magic
wrong.
has gone too far and must be stopped.
It's
and
washed so, up. It's washed out. Yeah.
Who targets a creature under the sea? Anyways.
Magic the Gathering.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, there's lots to unpack with the concept of also Elon Musk owning Monopoly. That one's kind of...
Remember when Monopoly put out those crazy commercials like a year ago with that girl evicting her own pregnant mom?
What? No, I do not remember that at all. What the fuck?
Yeah, like...
That's very woke. So woke.
Monopoly put out this commercial and it was a little girl in a business suit and she was like... She went to a place and like she was collecting money. She was serving people like past due bills. And then she evicts someone and she evicts a pregnant woman for past due bills. And then like they did some fun 90s like swirly screen effect and the game board flips right side up and it's like a family having game night in their house. And the person who got evicted was actually this child's pregnant mom in her bathrobe.
Damn.
That's commercial is fucked up.
You know, that's up there with the Folgers incest commercial for one of the best commercials of all time. Just saying.
It's fucked up.
Oh, truly is. All right. We've got a couple more stories. This next one, this is very interesting. This caught my eye. I saw something pop up and I was like, you know what? I want to look a little more into that. And whoa, boy. So there's something strange going on in Marlboro County, South Carolina. This week, the mayor of a small town died in a car accident.
Yes. This is the story I want us to talk about. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Was it a dog?
No.
Was it a Cybertruck?
This is crazy. And I'll tell you in advance, Deanna, I know you. You're going to ask questions. And both of us have researched this story. We haven't collaborated on our notes, but we both have, you know, looked into this. Neither of us are going to have the answers to some of your questions, period.
Ooh, but I love questions. Okay.
So the town is called McColl. The mayor's name is George Garner II. And on Tuesday, he veered into traffic into oncoming traffic and collided head on with an 18-wheeler during a police chase. Now, he was the one being chased, though the pursuing officer said that it was not in relation to any crime he committed, but instead that he was trying to protect the well-being of the mayor. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. 5 days before this happened, the entire police force of this town resigned in protest.
What were they protesting?
They said they were being disrespected and underfunded and shit like that.
And I believe they used the word harassment from the city council as well. Repeated acts of harassment and personal attacks is what the police chief said.
Okay.
So, yes.
I'm following or
so
not.
So basically this town, I guess there was like the cops were maybe trying to be bullies. And then the mayor was like, okay, like you can't do that. So they all quit. And then 5 days later, there was a high speed chase again, not for any crime having been committed, but it resulted in the mayor dying. Now, I don't have a ton more information about this there. It's not like there's like a huge amount of coverage. This is just, I'm going to say it's interesting.
Kennedy, what do you have to add?
Unfortunately, not much. It's very, that's the whole thing.
Like, that's like, kind of the thing is that that's all there really is.
And like there's not a lot to add. It's all very mysterious. It kind of reads like he got into a feud with the cops and died in a strange circumstance with a cop.
Yeah, it looks like
as much as I can say.
It looks like this mayor, he fought the law and the law won.
So they...
Big questions remain.
Yes, yes.
And the deputy says he was trying to protect the mayor?
Yes, and here's there is a point of confusion that I have here is that this was... In the stories I read, it said that the town's police force had all resigned. However, this person that was in this pursuit was a county sheriff. So I'm actually thinking that maybe there was something else going on, and maybe this sheriff actually was trying to protect the mayor, and maybe there was another car involved or something. Maybe he was actually being chased by the cops in cop cars, and the sheriff was trying to help. Here's the thing. I don't know. It's very unclear. I don't know if this sheriff is one of the people that had resigned, because it didn't.
Well, no, he wouldn't have. I don't think, because he was a county. He was a
exactly
county
right.
Sheriff's deputy. So that's the big mystery. I think right now is just like, was this guy like in cahoots with the other cops, or was there something more going on here? Or it's all mysterious.
Yes. And I just, you know, I love that, like, for all of the availability of information that technology has brought, there can still be like, oh, an entire town's police force got together and killed the mayor, and we can't really do anything about it. Like, we don't really know.
Yeah, it's very unclear. I do have many questions about the details of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many, many questions.
And here's the answers you're going to get. You already got them. All right, let's move on.
yeah, we just have one story left, and that is there was a hiker that went missing in October. He was going out for a week-long trip in the Canadian wilderness in, like, the northern Rocky Mountains. And he never came home. And this was like I said, in October. And then this week he just like popped up. He was alone in the woods for 50 days.
What?
And he's like, fine. He's got a little bit of frostbite, but he's like, he's back. He's like, yeah, man. Like, for a while I was sleeping in the car, and then I made a camp, and then I went over this mountain. I made another camp, and then I was like, I'm going to go walk to the road and see if I can find a car, wave down. And that worked.
You know, I knew this guy that was trying to quit smoking cigarettes and quit drinking alcohol once, and he was in a bad way. His life was kind of messed up at the time. He was in his like later 40s, and it was like clear that like he had to straighten things out. And he just like disappeared into the wilderness for a good number of weeks to like detox.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm just saying I've seen some strange things kind of like this in my time. So, yeah, I don't know. This checks out, I guess.
Well, not this one particularly, because the very first thing he did whenever he got picked up by the two truck drivers was he asked if either of them had a cigarette. So it didn't work for him.
Yeah, but maybe that's what he discovered. Maybe he realized
maybe
that
he started smoking while he was out in the woods.
Yeah. Maybe that was what he realized, was that he would rather smoke cigarettes in society than be nicotine-free in isolation in the wilderness.
I am making that part up about the cigarette. He didn't ask for one, but I thought that was fun. Yeah, I thought that was a fun little lie to tell.
Yeah, I thought it was nice, a nice touch.
Hell yeah.
A little bamboozler.
What? So what the fuck was he doing out there?
Just chilling.
Whatever. Sometimes you got to disappear for 2 months and come back different.
He was, look, even though he's Canadian, he was really nervous about the upcoming U.S. election. He's like, what if I just like check out for a while, you know, just go and like find a place to rest my head and let it all happen without me.
You know, maybe I just want to say that, like, back in the olden times where, like, travel took, like, years sometimes, being missing for 50 days would have been no big deal. All right.
Fair. Yeah.
I think people are overreacting.
Especially because this was, like, a grown man. He just wandered off.
Yeah.
Why did
grown adults should be allowed to wander off once in a while.
I agree.
Right. Did he have a family? Did he do a crime? Was he the mayor of a small town with a corrupt police force?
No, no, and yes. So yeah, that's the end of the news for the week there. That's all I've got. Does anybody have any questions, comments, concerns, or conspiracies they'd like to share?
I have a lot of concerns, but I don't think I have time to share them all. Okay.
Yeah, I also have a lot of concerns, but I don't think we'll get to the bottom of them on this show.
That's fair. There's always next week.
Maybe we should have a bonus episode about my concerns.
I think the mayor, the dead mayor.
Is our guest for next week?
Yeah, he's our guest for, that's my conspiracy. He's our guest for next week. He was actually our guest this week. And if you listen closely, you can hear him giving away secrets about his murder.
Yeah, you got to listen to it through headphones.
Yeah,
he's
going to
start coordinating
and backwards.
He's going to start communicating through the soundboard. Like when you when we press the buttons, we'll just get a dead mayor fact.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think he's trying to say something to us right now.
Try to speak.
Let him speak.
What is it?
What you got for us?
What is it, Mr. Mayor?
I feel like shit.
I was so hoping it would be Limp Bizkit. And of course, there was like a 50% chance I'd be right, considering the soundboard is 50% Limp Bizkit samples.
I was hoping it was going to be So Come and Get It, but that was also, I feel like shit was also a good one.
I feel like shit.
If I get all the way to being dead and still feel like shit, I'm going to be so fucking pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, rest in peace, South Carolina Mayor Justin Buttons. You will be remembered.
We will think of you every time we're on an elevator. Kennedy, you got a new podcast. Do you want to plug that?
Well, it's not out yet, but...
Oh, then just tease it, I guess.
I'll just tease it for now, but because we're going to put a couple episodes in the can and release several at once.
Hell yeah.
I'll tease this. We're recording with a friend of this pod, Big Nasty.
Ooh.
Jen.
Hell yeah.
From How the Red Was Won.
Nice.
Today. So, you know.
Yes.
Cool stuff happening. Yeah, it's a fun one. It's a silly one.
I was also on an episode that has been recorded that you cannot hear yet, motherfuckers.
That's right. It's just you've got to wait for it for another couple days, maybe a week.
Another indeterminate amount of time. Buckle up. I also have another podcast. It's called The Crumbling. It is a long-form scripted podcast. Well, the other people are scripted. I'm just there throwing out little jib-jabs. And it's, deep dives into certain historical events that led to the crumbling of our shared reality. We are, I believe, on part 5 of our series on Gamergate. And I've learned a lot. I didn't know much of this shit before, and I wish I still didn't. But you can check that out wherever you get podcasts. You can also go to patreon.com/worstweekyet, and you can hear more of this bullshit. But more important than all that, Deanna, do you have anything to plug? I feel bad not asking.
No.
Patreon.com/worstweekend. Tune in again next week for more bad news.
Bye.
Deanna's face said it all. Wow.